Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen, coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Rated G Radio. We're going to have a very special guest joining us in just a couple of moments. His name is Bodie Williamson, and we're going to talk to him about all kinds of really cool stuff, including the Spirit Horse Foundation, an energy program. He's also an author, and so much more. But I always try to give everybody the 6 degrees of separation on how I have the guests come on the show, and this all goes back to music, of course. And my producer and his girlfriend, Brian Pothier and Carol Lee, he plays music all over. Carol Lee goes and dances and watches him play. There's a great bar down in Laguna Beach that Carol Lee said, you know, Brian's on tour, come and hang out, we'll go and watch the Missiles play. And so, and I think I've got that, I'm probably saying the band's name wrong, and I apologize. I'll ask Bodie to get me squared away on that in just a second. So I went down on a Sunday afternoon. Carol Lee and I are standing there watching the band play, and they are really a spectacularly talented band, and apparently at one point in the 80s, 90s, you know, they were like the band everybody would go see in Laguna Beach. I mean, it's very well known. And so it was kind of like an honor to hear these guys so practiced and so well rehearsed and just so brilliantly polished to play their music. And at the venue, we talked to various folks who were coming by, and up sitting at the bar listening to the music was this very interesting man, Bodie Williamson. So I said, you know, Bodie, at some point I need to, you know, pin you down and get you on the show and just talk to you about all the cool stuff that you do. So we finally agreed tonight's going to be the night. And so, you know, again, thanks to music, I've got a new guest on the show that's really fun and entertaining. So without any further ado, I'm just going to say welcome, Bodie, to the show. Thanks for being here tonight.
Hi, Garrett. It's nice to be with you.
It's nice to have you here. So for everybody who doesn't know who you are, you can always tell us as much as you want. You don't have to tell anything you don't want. But can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what your background is?
Sure. I would say that my upbringing was pretty much conventional American. Went through the school system and all of that, and was a child of the 60s. So I went through all of that and the social upheaval, went through the Kennedy assassination and all of that. At a very formidable age, so it had a great, deep impression on me, and it was very disturbing for all the reasons we've come to find out. And which I think right at that point, there was, in 1963, there was a rift that took place in society that elements entered into the mainstream that, are coming to fruition at this time. Very interesting times, which kind of made things take a turn at that point. And then, of course, the 60s and all the introduction of basically now what we come to find out is basically a lot of occult knowledge, spiritualism, with Aleister Crowley, teachings and Eastern religion, and, you know, a tremendous opening of consciousness, some good, some not so good, but developed into this, to what we have today. So, I'm a little bit old. I don't know how old your audience is, but,
I've got them from about 25 to 80, so there you go.
Okay. All right. Well, fantastic. Well, I fall in there somewhere.
Okay. That's a good category to fall into, Bodie.
Yeah. I don't know if you need me to be more specific than that, but...
No, that's great.
There are a lot of elements, and there's an awakening taking place in society and, in a number of people that... is really what I would want to talk about, the idea of consciousness and, what is going on with that as individuals and, and maybe share a little bit about what my journey was. But without getting too much in the past, I'm a musician, I have been, and that's where, you know, the basic root of my personality would lie is I'm an artist. But on top of that, you know, a philosopher and a researcher and, you know, just a very curious person and, you know, have found some outlets for that curiosity and, you know, trying to, you know, pull back the veil a little bit. So that's, and at this time in my life, I'm in sort of a secluded life where I'm researching right now for the, and I've been that way really for the last couple of years, but I figure I have another year of very, very intense research, and then I'm going to be launching a number of programs that, you know, I hope are going to be really effective, and, you know, I hope to work with you, and, you know, you'll find out more about these things. But
well, I hope
just go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to kind of start on basically just give a little bit of background on what has happened, I would say.
Oh, yeah, I'd love that.
Within the last few years. Okay, because this is when when I became actively involved in taking responsibility for my own consciousness and advancing and opening that up. And just to give you a little bit of background, I became aware that things were not as they appear, that we're in a very controlled environment. And I don't want to get too far into that, but I was given some information that at the time, this was about 15 years ago, that I was not ready to receive, you know, on an emotional,
oh, yeah,
spiritual or intellectual level at that time. But it was in the form of a book that that I read, and it was sort of like the whole conspiracy theory from A to B, the whole thing in one book. That kind of, you know, went through the whole scenario and things that, you know, that we find on YouTube and whatnot, you know, all the time. But this was completely new information to me. And here I thought I was very sophisticated and, you know, pretty worldly and, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. But this
right.
just blew my mind. It just blew my mind that to the point where I just basically threw it down, walked away and said, "This is bull. You know what? There's no way," because it was basically the scene of the ending up of that the master plan of the controlling class is a genocide of the unwanted population, and my mind was not ready to fathom or conceive that, you know, that any people could possibly be that evil, you know, as to actually what's, I mean, I just thought, now this is just crazy. This is, so I just completely rejected it, but I had it in the back of my mind, you know, because I remembered the information.
Mm-hmm.
And as I would watch the news, as I would see things unfolding, you know, in the world and in the world events, I'm seeing, oh my God, this is exactly page for page what is going on, in this book. And it's basically what we've all heard this, either in religion or on the internet, that, you know, we're leading to a globalist one world government, where everything is going to be essentially digitized, and every single breath that we take is going to, you know, is going to be accounted for. I mean, it's just
mm-hmm.
like, you know, it's a whole crazy scene that of total control. And so I found myself in a place after rejecting this. I had an injury to where I was completely taken out of my normal life and put into a place where, you know, I mean, I had to say I was healing, I was mending.
Sure.
And so I began researching at that point, and I spent a couple of years in that, and got a lot of information. I didn't have the whole picture put together, but for me personally, having that so much of the information that I was taking in was so disturbing to me that you know, it was causing, like, it was bringing up a lot of issues with myself in things that that I perhaps had not dealt with in my own life, or I had pushed aside. And I found in the journey of life and of consciousness that, you know, you have to face all of those fears that you have, everything you've tucked away into the little convenient corner and hidden and go, well, you know, I don't need to deal with that. Well, guess what? You're going to have to deal with it at some point. If you're going to if you're going to have your personal spiritual vibration raised, which is what we all need, because those other things that are holding you back, your fears, your hatred, your anger, your issues, you know, your resentments, all of this kind of stuff, your habits, you know, just the whole way you think from the inside out, all of that stuff has to be dealt with. And that's a very, very painful experience for most people, you know, and it causes a lot of dissonance, and essentially you got to clean yourself from the inside out in order to get remove those things so that you can actually start operating on a higher level. And I came to the point in my life, the culmination of everything that I had probably not dealt with in terms of my own feelings about what was going on with my life. And then plus, you know, you all have to understand that you cannot hold yourself responsible or in a place of hatred or condemnation of yourself, because I'll tell you what, this has been placed upon us. It has been put upon us by some, you know, a very diabolical plot that's been in action for thousands of years, and you know, involves a huge amount. So, I mean, I everybody take a breath and lighten up as far as the way you look at yourself, because our whole society teaches us, because it's all based upon material objects, basically, is that if you don't have these things that our society says you're supposed to have, well, there's something wrong with you, you're an incomplete, you know, deficit, you know, person in deficit, invalid, et cetera, because our whole society has become just a complete commercial and contractual transaction. And if you study history and get into the law particularly, see, that's where all this stuff comes in and is expressed, is in the judicial system. And so all of the shenanigans are taking place, and the whole mind control thing is that's where it comes from. And see, all these subjects that I'm mentioning right now, these are like some really vast subjects, and
take a lot of time.
So I hope people are just coming out of gibberish, and people are kind of able to follow that. I can't really amplify on everything that I say, and I have to kind of leave it for you to sort of fill in, you know, connect the dots and fill it in.
Where would people go to maybe fill in some of those dots?
Okay, I'm going to, I found a source that is, I think, fantastic, because I've researched on YouTube. You know, there's a lot of stuff on there about the birth certificate bond. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with that. There's a lot of stuff about that. A lot of people have, you know, are gaining understanding, also the accepted for value process. And all of those things are there. Okay, and what I found is a source that pulls all of that stuff together, along with the history, along with all the critical events that have led up to this place. And it's fantastic. It's called Stop the Pirates. And you can reach it. It's stopthepirates.blog.com. And you can go there, and right on the website, there's a lot of information right there, and breaks down a lot of things. But if you want to really get into it, I mean, on a collegiate level of understanding of the things that I'm talking about here, as far in terms of the legal process, understanding that, and then find the remedy of how to get out of that, so you're not basically a slave of the system, and there is a way to do that. So
hey, Bodhi, can you help me out again? What's that website again? Cause I want to try to just pop it up.
It's called stopthepirates.blog.com.
Huh, okay.
And they, so and
go
they
and,
have – good, go ahead.
And type – when I'm putting that in the system here, I'm not getting anything, or at least it's trying to.
Really? Stop the Pirates?
Yeah, stopthepirates.blog.com. It says it doesn't exist. But we could check on that later. I'm just curious.
Okay,
I wanted to pull that up while I,
while
I had you here.
Yeah, it should come up. I think that's what I put in. Well, anyway, we'll get straightened out on that.
Yeah,
but
that'll be fun to take a look at.
Stop the Pirates, and you should be able to, you know, to Google that, and it, you know, it should come up. But they operate by a donation, but for a $65. For a $65.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. For $65.
For a $65 donation, he gives you a download of material that will keep you absolutely. If you really want to learn this stuff, and for me, I have to learn everything word for word. I've got to break it down so that I understand what every single word means. What these terms mean? Because when you're dealing in the law. The word is not, you know, it means something different than what normal speech means. That's how attorneys pull the wool over our eyes. And it'll teach you a lot about who attorneys are, what they are, the history of America, of the legal system. It's very fascinating. But for $65, you can get a college. It's like a couple years college course in there if you broke it down. I'm just taking one thing. It's called the redemption process, and I'm going through that. And that's just one book that he's got
cool.
in. And there's probably 30 books on there that he's done. It's just fantastic. They've spent a lot of time gathering information, going to seminars, you know, spending the money for, you know, probably some pretty expensive courses, gathering all that information in one spot and going, bang, folks, donate $65 so we can keep going. And, you know, here's this process for you, and you can take and do with it what you want. If you've got the desire, you can go all the way. And that's kind of, you know, that's how I'm approaching it. And that because I want to use this process to be able to uncover. There are funds and bonds available once you understand how the financial system works and that it's all based on debt and offsetting debt. There are ways to create bonds and finance things. And what I want to do is I'm getting into the financial part of it. And creating, and basically what you do in finances, the way you get wealthy is you just create lines of credit. And I personally, at this point in my life, have no desire to have wealth for myself, just to buy a yacht or a plane or, you know, I mean, 10 matches. That has no interest to me. I'm beyond that point. But what I want to do is I want to use this as a platform to be able to teach other people how to get into this process, or not just direct them into this process. I'm not teaching them, I'm just directing them.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I want to learn it to the point that I can teach it to anybody and make a system that I could just like turn over to somebody here. You know, just that's kind of what I do. I adapt information. And I kind of lost my train of thought there. Because I know I'm kind of jumping around. But, okay, I want to finance this because, okay, I know where I'm going here with this.
Okay.
Is that I'm setting up a foundation. It's a nonprofit organization for horse rescues. I'm a lover of horses and a lover of animals. And that's where I'm directing mine into. It's not for me. I'm just going to be an executor of the foundation. I'm not going to be like a beneficiary or anything. That's going to be the foundation and the horses. And so all of the information that I'm learning, I'm trying to put it into something that is a positive thing. It's not a selfish, it's a service type of thing, but with sort of a bigger idea in mind, because I want to do the foundation in conjunction with the Navajo Nations, which are out in the Four Corners area of the United States, and involve hay growers. As I know it sounds funny, but horses eat hay, and what's happening is that with the GMO genetically modified foods and hay that and alfalfa that they're feeding the horses is containing a parasite due to the you'd have to study the Roundup syndrome, that it allows a parasite to exist in this hay that is resistant to these chemicals, and what it does is it gets in the horse's intestine and it makes microscopic holes in the horse's intestine, and so the nutrients and whatnot and toxins bleed out into the horse's system, so the horse is not functioning properly. That battery isn't charged properly. And by the way, the same thing happens to humans too.
Exactly.
The same thing. Wonderful stuff. So, and that's a whole nother area. But something that can be encompassed in this idea of, hey, we gotta, you know, take responsibility for ourselves, take back our own personal sovereignty is the legal term. And that is a self-direction before this. We got hoodwinked into accepting the government as a corporation. It is no longer a government for the people. It's a profit-oriented corporation, and this happened back in 1871. With the introduction of the 14th Amendment. And this is something that's covered in, by the way, into the Stop the Pirates material, and all this background is given, and it's a lot to go into at once. But
that's fascinating. Can we talk about that for just a little bit, how that change took place? And I mean, you've done the research on this, and I'm hearing this for the first time, and I think it's fascinating.
You know what, Garrett? It is fascinating. Okay, I'll give you what I know, and you have to understand that I'm still learning this myself. I just got my packet of information a couple of weeks ago, so I'm digging into it too. And though a lot of the stuff I was familiar with, but let's focus on this. Is really, really important what took place back in the 1800s, and I'll tell you what, Abraham Lincoln. I'm not a big fan of his. If the record is revealed, a lot of people are going to see. Oh man, that guy was. Okay. Anyway, in 1862, right after Abraham Lincoln became president, there was an act called. It was called the Organic Act, and what that did is that changed our Constitution, which was a constitution for the people to a constitution of the people. Now, those two little words right there, for and of, what took place at that change in this Organic Act, and it's one that's definitely worth going back and looking and becoming familiar with. But what happened at that point is they changed, our constitution was changed into a corporate document. The country was incorporated in England because England was the debtor from the Revolutionary War of all the debts that came out of the Revolutionary War, and that's why. See, I have the three biggest myths of history are that Britain lost the Revolutionary War. It did not. The bankers won the Revolutionary War because in the settlement, in the treaty, I believe it was the Treaty of Versailles, that was when Benjamin Franklin went over there and they settled the account with the British. And what happened is all of the debts that England had incurred in the Revolutionary War, along with all the debts that the colonists had occurred was all transferred back to debt in the colonies, in the United States. So we got the bill from England for that. So basically what that set up was a system where they're the creditors. And so they set up a central bank to handle this. It's basically the United States or the colonies at that time were bankrupt, and England was the creditor. And, you know, he who, you know, holds, you know, has the gold makes the rules, you know. And so it's the whole history of America has really been the struggle of bankers. And, there was a huge debt that was created.
Okay.
In 1962, a corporation was formed to handle this debt, and it hoodwinked and changed by using what I call word magic, you know, just like little words, that they changed our constitution of a constitution for the people, which represented us as citizens. I don't like that word now that I know what it means, citizens, but as occupants of the states, and our representatives, which were lawfully voted in there, were the signatories to this, and so we were included that. But when, because of the debt, England set up a corporation in London, in the city of London at this time, to finance the debt. And from that point, well, that was one of the points, because everything happens in increments. It has been a total corporatization of the whole country. That was in 1862 with the Organic Act. And then in 1871, after the so-called Civil War, the slaves, which were held privately at that time, were taken from the private and put into this corporation as subjects or citizens of this corporation, but along with everybody else. So at that time, in 1871, with the 14th Amendment, we all became corporate citizens or property of this corporation, who had this debt, and they're basically holding title to us. This sounds crazy. Title to us in this corporation. Okay, big deal. So what? Okay, so it goes on, and in 1913, the Federal Reserve System, and that was the centralized bank manage the debt, along with the debt from now we've got debt from the Revolutionary War, we've got debt from the Civil War, now we've got debt from World War III. So the debt is huge, and it's owned by European bankers that operate out of London in answer to the Vatican.
So, and can I ask you a question here?
So this is where the Federal Reserve was set up in 1913, and if you haven't read about this, please read about it, because it's one of the most horrendous diabolical events that has ever, you know, happened in history. So anyway, the Federal Reserve, which is a private bank that's basically to service all of this debt that has been accumulated. Because the country, and so in that they took the land, you know, in this as collateral for this debt. They took the land of the United States. They took the people of the United States. They took the gold and the silver of the United States, to where the only thing that was left was just the energy of the people and what the people could produce. So then they set up the tax system, the income tax system, the social security system. And really since then, all of us has been operating as slaves and employees of this corporation and not as natural people. So, and that is just, that's sort of a fly-through thumbnail. I hope it makes a little bit of sense. Of course, there's a lot more to it, and there's much more details. But to bring it up to date, and there's a lot of things that took place in the 20th century as far as mind control, just a conditioning program and a taking over of society and media and education and justice and, you know, and all of this stuff, to where we're living basically everything is fictional. We are nothing more than items of commerce, property of this corporation. We're collateral for it, and that's why they can take you and, you know, fine you and make you follow the rules and take you to court and fine you and tax you and yada yada yada. And it goes on and on. Where, you know, it's you know, I don't think it's the way
who's benefiting at the end of the day here? Who's
bankers? The bankers.
Okay.
That's who's benefiting. It's and who are the bankers? Well, that's a whole that's a study in there. And if you haven't done it, you do it, you know, and I can help you with that, whatever. But yeah, you need to understand who these people are. The name that is most closely associated would be the Rothschilds.
Rothschild family.
Yeah. So study the Rothschilds and you're going to get a pretty idea of the banking angle of it. But, you know, the Rothschilds, there's other characters in the scenario, but they're big bankers, and you know, this is all private companies, and the whole thing, even the courts are run as private companies. When you're in that before that judge, and that judge fines you, you know, those outrageous fines that they charge, that judge is making money off of you. That's a private law firm in there. They've licensed our laws, which are owned by this corporation and licensed in London. All of those attorneys, all of those judges, those are foreign agents. They work for the crown, for the corporation. That's why this is so fraudulent and so treasonous, the way that this thing has unraveled, that you cannot call it anywhere, you know, a constitutional government or at all. That's gone. That's done. You know, there are ways out of it. But it does take, it takes a real commitment to do it. For me, fortunately, I'm older and I have the time, and it is something that I've made up, you know, I've resolved in my mind, you know, that I was going to become educated, and now, you know, I want to master this material and be able to share it as long as I can, and set up a foundation.
Bodhi, one of the things that you said earlier is that, you know, at some point in your life, you were presented with some of this information and you just weren't ready for it. What
right.
happened? When were you ready for it? And what happened when you had that big aha moment that the light bulb went on for you?
Okay, well, it was the accident that I had. Okay, because I'd always kind of cruised along, you know, metaphorically speaking, on my surfboard, you know, just kind of,
sure.
you know, and I was a musician and you know, loved traveling and performing and all that went with that. I wasn't really a terribly serious person. And I broke my leg.
I fell off of a
roof. I was working, and there was a rotted roof. It gave way. I went down, and it just happened to be that the house was on a lake, and it was all saturated with mud on an angle. And the way my right ankle just went in and like plunked right into this and locked into this mud, and I just kind of peeled over, and it just shattered my whole side. So it was like some serious pain. Shattered my ankle like it was a tomato. Broke my tibia in two places and kind of just like screwed up the whole right side of my body. So, I mean, right there, bam. You know, I mean, going from like a healthy, happy, affluent, you know, just a normal kind of. Not a dumbass, but, you know, not really I was, you know, like highly conscious. So, but probably more than the average person.
Okay.
So I went from that to be just being, I mean, a decrepit invalid who, you know, I became addicted to the drug, the pain medication, and while I was in the hospital, they gave me morphine, and I think they, yeah, I mean, I think I got addicted like really quickly. So, what happened is my energy level just like went down to bam to like, you know, close to zero. It was just, I was just miserable. I had no way, no coping skills of, you know, how to deal with it, with something as traumatic with it. So it kind of put me in that place, and I had to go through all that. I had to rehab from that. And in my rehab, started doing, you know, more studying and researching, and kind of started getting back into the JFK assassination, which is going to lead you into, you know, all kinds of other areas, and you're going to end up, you know, in the occult and studying that, and finding out that, you know, there's a history of, you know, satanic worship and, you know, human sacrifice and people, you know, worshiping demons on, you know, other planets and, you know, I mean, all kinds of just wild, crazy, you know, kind of stuff that these, you know, and it's kind of presented to you like, hey, guess what? These are the rulers of your world, you know. So that's pretty disturbing information, you know, if you're just a normal person. And, you know, it was quite depressing to me, particularly in the physical state I was. So I came to the point, I think, you know, man, you know, is this it for me? And so I went into a great depression and, you know, yada, 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 and kind of got to the point where, man, I'd let things go so far that even my relationship, you know, just blew out, you know, my whole, you know, foundation just crumbled under me. And basically, I was, you know, I was just down and out. And at that point, that was the point where I had to start from. I'm basically sleeping in my car at that point. And, you know, and this is around 2012, expecting the world to end, et cetera, et cetera. And from that point, I don't know where it came from, but I found this book by a Chinese doctor by the name of Stephen Chang. And it was called The Healing Art of Internal Exercise. Or something like that. You know, it's kind of a weird name, but I have studied Taoism for a long time, since I was about 20. A friend of mine gave me a book, The Tao Te Ching, and I always kept that. I always read it, and I always really liked it. And so, over a long period of time, I sort of had a chance to develop an understanding of the Taoist mentality and where it was coming from. So I was able to understand where this doctor was coming from, although he was speaking on a very academic and, you know, pretty advanced, you know, level as far as Taoism, because he's actually, you know, interpreting original Taoist texts and things like that. But I was able to understand it and follow it, and he made claims in this book that I had never heard before about what it was possible to do with the energy of the body. And basically the philosophy was this, that there are five levels of you can call them chakras in the body. There are more than that, but and there are five organs and five glands that all are meant to work in harmony with each other.
Okay.
And when this is attained, and one affects the other, so if one's off, it throws the other one off, which throws the other one, and the whole thing gets off. Now, due to these, you know, these poisonous diets, unclean water, God knows what, you know, what we're breathing in the air with all the stuff they're spraying on us, and this constant barrage of negative energy, you know, ad infinitum, going on and on, you know, contaminating our environment. So what happens over a period of time, and then throw in, you know, drugs, alcohol, things like that. I mean, the body just mm-hmm. gets completely out of whack.
Yeah, it's totally messed up.
And most people are operating and walking around in that state where they're basically their energy level is caught in the lowest chakra, which is the base chakra, which is in that, you know, is that in the torso of the body, that's down at the bottom. It's basically, you know, they're living, you know, it's the bottom of the energy field. And the thing is with experience and contamination and so many things that they can become permanently stuck, or we can become permanently stuck on that level. And so that just becomes the norm. And there's a and also DNA is involved in this too. It really becomes, after a while, with this, with all the negativity of our society, our DNA gets changed to where our DNA becomes contaminated and polluted, and there is no other option for us other than, you know, the being as a, basically a fearful animal.
I'm fascinated by that, and I think that, you know, with the, like you talked about the GMOs and you know all the preservatives and all the yuck that everybody eats. I mean, it's not surprising that, you know, some of the research that you're doing here, Bodhi, you know, tells you that all of these things are just making us, you know, these miserable human beings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, within Dr. Chang's book, there were he talked about that the philosophy of health in that was that by doing some simple exercises that had been developed by the Taoist sages thousands of years ago from observation of basically animals around them. He was able to adapt exercises based upon the quality and observation of these animals and their particular strength and attributes. I don't know if that made any sense, but there's basically four exercises. And that's what I took Dr. Chang's book and I adapted that into a very simple, basically it's an hour read. It's like an exercise that explains the four exercises that you do, and these are all internal exercises. You don't go to a gym, you don't need any workout clothes or anything like that. Anybody can do it because they're all done basically internally by manipulating different muscles in the body, which which you learn about in the exercises, and then you do those in conjunction with each other, because there's four basic areas in the body that have to be strengthened. They're the base chakra, because most of us have big giant holes in the field, the energy field of our base chakra, because of all this improper understanding of sexuality and reproductive and, you know, just careless attitudes about that. These can create, you know, psychic holes in these different areas. And most people that's where they're stuck. They're stuck down in the groin, you know, and they can't ever get beyond that point because there's so much damage that takes place down, you know, in that area. Okay, and then it goes up into the solar plexus. That's the first area that has to be strengthened is the base chakra. The second area is the solar plexus, and that's the area of where emotion and memory, it's kind of like our brain almost. That's where all the points from the central nervous system meet along with all the other points in the area, and that's kind of where our, you know, you heard the term, well, I got a knot in my stomach. Well, that's because that's unprocessed, you know, emotional energy meeting the conscious mind. So it takes place in that area. So there's work to be done there. There's work to be done below. And then you move up into the heart area. And
Bodhi, I think I lost you there. Are you still there? Bodhi, you still there? Well, guess what? I think we dropped Bodhi. I'm going to try to get him back here. and see if we can get him back on the line, because this is just absolutely interesting tonight. So let's see if we can get Bodie back here with the Jeopardy theme song. There we go.
Hi, did I lose you?
Yeah, well, I lost you, so I think we better try him back. So there we go.
Okay. Sorry, I'm walking around, so...
Oh, cool. Well, we've got about 15 minutes left, so I want you to keep going, because this is fun
okay,
stuff.
Okay, well,
to hear.
Where did what did you last
hear? I lost you about 20 seconds ago.
Okay. Well, I was basically talking about the energy field, and the reason that I was talking about that is that we are at a place of such tremendous challenge. I tried to, you know, and I'm trying to say, okay, now how in the hell do you overcome this? Because, you know, when you stack it all up, it's like a big, huge mountain, you know, of obstacles to overcome and negativity. And it just can seem almost incalculable or impossible to, you know, to do. But that is an illusion. And that's why by practicing the exercises that and I'm not going to go into those right now. We can, you know, we can talk about that further on, and I can, you know, I can email you the essay and you can read it and, you know, all of that.
All that fun stuff.
Yeah. I mean, but by, okay, the conclusion that I came to is that where I was at, I needed to raise my vibrational level. And I was really down. I wasn't in a good place, but I started practicing these four exercises, and I started doing it religiously. And I mean, I noticed after a couple of weeks, wow, I'm starting to feel better, you know. And it went on after 90 days. I was starting to feel like my old self again, you know. I mean, like, you know, feeling confident and, you know, just kind of like where I'd kind of lost that, you know. And the confidence started coming back. I could tell I was getting my health back, but I still didn't know, you know, like, how am I going to, you know, still pull all of this together. But just kept going, kept practicing it. And as I went along, I understood, hey, I need to be more technologically in tune, because I just, you know, I rejected that. It's being not a good thing, but that's the way the world is. And so, you know, and kept on studying all of the things that I had, you know, I had worked on. So now I've got all, you know, all the tools together. But like anybody out there listening, I am, you know, I'm on the path too. So if what I share with any of you, it's just, it's me confirming, you know, to myself that, you know, that this is what's happened. And that's what discussion like this is for. And if you may be further along than I am, you may not have gone, you know, as far as I am, but you have a desire and you are on the path. So I just want to share with you what you might, you know, go through. And some of it is unpleasant. Some of it is very confrontational. But there are wonders and miracles that, you know, that exist, that with that, in a higher vibrational level, if you can get to that point and start living in that place, the world will change in a very, very profound way. And you're not alone in this journey. Many, many have gone before. Many are doing it now. So, you know, just... Yeah, and in this process, we're going to, you know, it'll be a correction of the DNA, because DNA is something that forms as you go along. It's based on your intent. It's based on,
really?
You know, absolutely, absolutely. Because, I'm no expert in DNA by any means, but, you know, the strands of DNA that contain our genetic code, you know, they were able to isolate and look at those, but there was, they also said that, well, yeah, but 90% of it is junk. You know, there's all this DNA floating around that, you know, and they called it junk DNA. Well, bull crap. that is, those are the building blocks of the DNA that, you know, that is being contained in these structures. And that is done, that DNA is formed as you go along, as you experience it. And so the point being is that you do have the ability to change from the deep core of who you are, what you have been and what you have experienced, because every negative, every negativity or disappointment or failure that you experienced was a result of the DNA, you know, just manifesting that. And, you know, not thought, not any, you know, positive thinking or any of that kind of stuff. That is just that's the outcome of the DNA. So by doing the, you know, gaining this energy, raising this vibration, and then you know, finding a path that creates a harmonious life in you, and removing the hatred, removing the anger, removing the greed, you know, and these lower vibrational things, that life will open up to you. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, because we are the earth and the world, the cosmos, the, you know, the our solar system, the galaxy and the universe is going through a lot of, you know, a lot of upheavals, and we're a part of it, and, you know, we have to play our part. We're still in these physical bodies at this time, and, you know, we've got to go through this, and, you know, I don't know what to say about that, because you know, all I can
say,
it's just, it is a lot. It is a lot. I know, but you know, I guess all I can say is, hey, it doesn't last forever. I mean, the physical body, you know, that moves on. So whatever happens, you know, just, you know, go through it. And
cool.
And, you know, I who knows what's going to happen, but you know, in the long run, it's all going to come out very, very well for us. So.
Well, I hope so. That's always the nice thing to hear.
Well, yeah, it is, because it is all overall a positive thing. But these situations and this negative illusion has been created for us to be able to advance to a place where we're really worthy of, you know, all of the, you know, the wonderful things that are going to be revealed to us. So, you know, we're just in the beginning stage now. We're in kindergarten of consciousness. So once we get out of that, we'll get on to first grade, and, you know, it'll be really cool. We'll get on the playground and start playing around with the other
Start kids. Playing. Well, Bodhi, I'm going to tell you, this is probably a good place for us to end tonight. We've got just a couple minutes left. And I want to know more. So this is a great time to say this has been fun, but we'll need to have a part two and three and four or however long.
Definitely.
You know, so it'd be fun to have you back in the future.
Thank you. As I said, you know, me sharing this with you and your audience, you know, that makes it real to me. So that opens up the next thing for me to be able to, you know, to understand it, and I'll just share it with you as it comes to me, you know.
Cool.
And, you know, and so when you share it in the openness of your heart, you know, to allow this to happen, opens up a lot of good things for you, Garrett, my friend. So,
well,
yeah.
Good things for all are a good thing to hear.
Anytime, man. Anytime you want to, you know, talk, you know, that
I know where
awesome.
To find you.
Awesome. I've had a really good time,
Thanks, Bodhi, and I'll be in touch. We'll get another date set up for part two of this interesting conversation. Bodhi Williamson, everybody, thank you very much for being here. And, Bodhi, I'm going to just mute your line. If you want to hang on, that's great. We're going to be live for about another 5 minutes here.
Okay.
Again, a big thanks to Bodhi for being on the show tonight. Tomorrow night we have Annie Ulrich, and she's returning for her April appearance, and she'll be talking about April's energy and what that's going to mean for all of us. And then on Friday, we have a very special Friday night dance party. We've got Tom Goss coming on the line. He's doing a cross-country tour or whirlwind tour all around the country, because every time I look at his Facebook page or his website, he's all over the place. But we're going to have Tom Goss on the line and play music from his album that's out right now called Wait. And we've got a couple of remixes. And he's a singer-songwriter, very active in the LGBT community, and is really hysterical at making these fantastic music videos that people love to watch. I'm going to play a song by a recent guest here on Rated G Radio. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to do. I think this would be fitting for today. We're going to play Joseph Eads, The Rock. And I'll come back right after this just to wish you well for the evening and bid you adieu. Thanks again also to the folks at Westar Radio in the United Kingdom who will be listening to this on their drive home. So at 5 p.m. UK time, you're listening to Rated G Radio, and I love having you here. If you have a song or a guest or something like that you'd like to request, send me an email at garrett@garrettmiller.com or simply like the Facebook fan page for Rated G Radio. There's Joseph E.
Tell my mother I loved her the most. Tell my father I know he did his best. Tell my love who broke my heart I never stopped loving them. Tell my sister she should have been poet. And tell my brother how guilty I felt when I ran off from home to chase all my dreams, but I left him back there to pick up the pieces. And they say that right is heading our way. They say that rock is as big as LA. It don't look like we'll make it. It don't look like we'll make it. Tell the mailman I'm sorry, but I forgot to give him this Christmas card. You know it's sitting on my shelf along with everybody else's in my dusty pile of good intentions. Yeah, yeah.
I always always love playing Josephine Ede after an interesting conversation with her guests. So, again, a big thanks to Bodie Williamson for coming on the show tonight and talking about a host of subjects. We'll have him back in the future to continue that dialogue. That will be fun to do. Just, again, a real quick reminder, tomorrow night, Annie Ulrich is back, and she'll be taking your calls and for dream interpretation, a little intuitive work, but she does these amazing tea leaf readings as well. If you are in the Southern California area and would like to do that, I'm going to encourage you to make a little investment in yourself and go do that. I've done it a couple of times, and it's really, really cool. And again, Friday is Tom Goss on the Friday Night Dance Party. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, make sure to follow the show. Just click the little follow button and or, you know, like us on Facebook. Do that as well, and we will see you live on Thursday.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.